Okay, good evening, everyone. It is March 10th and it is 6 p.m. So I am going to call the Cedarwilly City Council meeting to order. Will you please all stand with me to say the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, thank you. We'll go into roll call. I'll begin with Councilwoman Joellen Casti.
Present.
Thank you. Councilwoman Brenda Kinzer.
Present.
Thank you. Councilman Chuck Owen.
Present.
Thank you. Councilman Kevin Loy.
Here.
Thank you. Councilman Glenn Allen. All right. No response. Councilman Brendan McGoffin.
Present.
Thank you. And Councilman Carl DeYoung.
Present.
Thank you. Okay. So with the approval of the agenda, so tonight we're going to pull item two on the new business, which is the solid waste recycling. So after conversation and consideration, we decided that we're going to pull this and let the utility committee have a look at it and then bring a recommendation to the council. So item two on the new business has been pulled, and I am looking for an approval of the agenda with the changes.
Madam Mayor, I make a motion to approve the agenda with the stated changes.
Thank you.
Second, Councilman Owen.
Okay, thank you. So I have a motion by Councilwoman Kinzer, seconded by Councilman Owen. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Did you poop in a potty? Yeah.
Opposed, same motion. All right, motion carries. And now looking for an approval of the consent agenda, items 1 through 9.
Madam Mayor, I'm making a motion to approve the consent agenda items 1 through 9.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second, Councilman Owen.
All right, thank you. I have a motion by Councilwoman Kinzer, seconded by Councilman Owen. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay, motion carries. All right, tonight we actually have a special guest here with us from the Boys and Girls Club. And to speak about the Cedarwilly Child Care Task Force presentation is Ian Haley, and he is Executive Vice President and Chief Development Officer. Welcome, Ian, and I will turn it over to you.
Thank you so much, Mayor Julia. And Bill, I was going to ask if you could share with Rachel Olson. So she's got our PowerPoint and she can share the screen there. And huge thank you to the entire Cedarwilly City Council. I wanted to thank you folks for giving us a chance to speak. On here with me, we've got Ron McHenry, actually our CEO, who's been leading our fearless organization and providing a lot of the vision for what we do. We also have Rachel, one of our development associates, who's been helping kind of run this grant. And then we have Christina Trader, who is our operations director for the Mountains and Sound. She actually runs our Cedarwilly Club, and she has been really leading our forces in the Cedarwilly area and concrete. So wanted to thank you guys for giving us a chance to speak. You know, the big overview before I turn it over to Christina, I asked Mayor if we could present. And this is mostly just a heads up and kind of a explaining about this project. We had the opportunity to apply for a grant through Department of Commerce related to looking at the need for childcare specifically in Cedar Woolley, and really getting some concrete data through surveying, through reaching out to folks about what does it look like on the ground. You know, there have been a number of aggregate surveys for regions or for the county, but Department of Commerce really has been wanting to dig into local communities and figure out what is that demand, you know, pre-COVID, post-COVID, for something like childcare that affects many of us. So that's kind of the overview of the project. And wanted to invite Ron to say a word or two just about, you know, this is very much fit with kind of our focus for the last couple of years as we've really developed the clubs and kind of built capacity within the organization in just how do we serve kids best? How do we serve families best in Cedar Woolley in Skagit County?
Thanks, Ian. And thank you to Mayor Johnson and council members for allowing us to present today. You know, we're really excited and intrigued by this because it opens up some new avenues of service for us as an organization, but also potentially meets more needs in the community. And as a nonprofit, that's what we're here for. And so we look at it a little bit differently than simply childcare. We look at this as an opportunity to engage 3, 4, and 5-year-olds in very targeted and specific enrichment programs and activities to make sure that they're ready for kindergarten. That when they enter the Cedar Woolley School District, they're prepared, they have all the tools and assets they need to stay with their grade and advance. And I think, you know, it should be noted that our intent is not to place any restrictions or qualification ratios on access for parents to the Working Child Care Connections Program, the subsidies that would allow their participation, meaning that we can serve more low-income youth and those furthest away from educational and social justice. So it really aligns well with our mission. And we also look at it as a way to better serve some of our current club members who are maybe in kindergarten and first grade that need a little bit more structured environment than what the traditional clubhouse can provide. And so it allows us to increase capacity specific in Cedar Woolley, meet our mission goals and continue to grow as an organization. And so Ian's been leading this team from start to hopefully finish. We're very proud of the work that's been done and very thankful to the partners that have been working alongside, including the school district, the Chamber of Commerce, the city and other nonprofit agencies. So with that, would love Christina to kind of dig in and get started.
That would be my cue to unmute. Thank you for allowing us to join your council meeting this evening, Mayor and council members. My name is Christina Trader. I am the VP of Operations for the Mountain and Sound Group. So I oversee Cedar Woolley, and then I also work with Anacortes and Concrete. I have been with the Boys and Girls Club movement now for 12 years. And the first 10 of my years, I was really focused on licensed childcare. And I'm really excited to be working on this project to open a Discovery Center, hopefully in Cedar Woolley. We have been running childcare services since April 1st here in Cedar Woolley, starting at Mary Purcell, with emergency services and then expanding to our clubhouse in the fall. Next slide, please. We are really looking to expand programming, reach more members and expand services to a younger age group to hopefully bridge some of the gaps. And we are working with our child care task force who has partners with the district, chamber, United General, Child Care Aware, Helping Hands, and many others. Our beginning stages has been to start surveying families within the community and look at the need and where we need to maybe fill in some of those gaps. We're also assessing prices and, you know, where we can help fill those spaces. And then we will work on creating some focus groups and community forums to get more community involvement and work through some of the bigger pieces as feasibility studies with buildings and whatnot. Next slide, Rachel. So some of our initial research that we have gotten so far in our beginning surveys is that yes, there is a need and there is demand. You know, a big one is that 81% has stated that families in Cedar Woolley do not have access to adequate childcare. You know, I see that here at the club, we have a wait list. And, you know, we have families that have called around to other local childcares and they have wait lists. And we want to expand that and reach the needs as the city is growing and more people are moving north and there's more kiddos. Next slide, please. So we will continue to do our research and we will continue to survey families and community members and business people within the city. And then we are also going to work on looking at land and building options. We are working with some builders to get proposals and estimates on building from ground up and what it would take to do a remodel potentially. That's the basics for our grant right now as we are working on feasibility studies and finding out the true need. And if you have questions, please don't hesitate to ask. Any of us can help out. I'm here and then Rachel and Ian as well. Are there any questions at this point?
I actually have a couple of questions, if none of the council has questions. The first one is, I'm curious, with COVID, have you seen an increase in the need for childcare or a reduction, or has it stayed about the same?
It's really, in the aggregate, it's an increase because we're limited by space and the number of kids we can serve. I suspect that if we had a more available space and the resources to provide the service, that we still would be unable to meet the need currently. And that's not counting, of course, what economic recovery looks like. And so, you know, we were able to partner really strongly with the Mount Vernon School District, for instance, and open up more spaces than we've ever had before. And they continue to be full and with a waiting list. The thing that's holding us back right now is, you know, typically 9 months of the year, we're open 4 hours a day. We've now been open 51 weeks for 12 hours a day, 5 days a week. And so that automatically is three times more expensive. And then when you have to lower the ratios and add all of the PPE and other safety precautions, it's costing us about $1,300 a month to provide childcare. And that we can't charge that obviously to parents, because that's a mortgage payment. So, you know, we're doing the best we can to subsidize it in-house. We look at this as an additional pathway, because some subsidy would become available through the state of Washington.
Okay. And so is that true also then for the 3, 4, and 5 year olds, or is this a new program that you're developing within Boys and Girls Club?
Yeah, so Delaney Brugman with Child Care Aware, you know, she reported, because we kind of started this before COVID actually hit, there was a deficit already in child care availability for younger children, infants, toddlers, and preschool. In initial conversations before we applied for the grant, because we needed to know, was it going down this road? Before we asked for state funding, did we already have a sense that there was a need? Because otherwise, what's the point of going down that road? And there were already deficits. And then on top of that, many family home centers closed because of COVID and new WACs coming from the state of Washington overseeing them. And so we anticipate that even with this addition, there are still going to be deficits in the community. This will help resolve some of those deficits, but not fully expend everything. Janicki Industries, one of our board members, works in HR there and is an engineering manager. And she has lamented herself about the lack of access to childcare. People waiting, you know, months and years on end. There was one family that had twins, one child, a space opened up and they took it. and kept their other child in a different program just to make sure that there was space, and then hopefully getting that second twin into the same program.
And then one last question, and I'll open it back up to the council again to see if they have questions. So, you know, United Way has changed up their mission. They're actually focusing on what I call the young beginnings. And I'm curious, is there a possibility of partnering with them? Do you ever think or talk about that? It seems like it's a natural fit. You're both very much focused on basically the same thing, good, you know, welfare for the children, and then also making sure that they have good education. So I'm curious about that.
Yeah, Craig started just as, Craig Chambers, the new executive at United Way, started just as we were kind of getting this launched and was a part of those conversations. I anticipate the partnership will look at maybe bridging some funding gaps for asset limited income families where they might not qualify for the state subsidy, but they have three children and they're barely making ends meet, or they have extenuating circumstances like significant medical bills. And so we would look to merge that funding to support those families that need it.
Okay. Thank you. So I'll toss it back to you, Council. Are there any other questions that you may have for Ron, Christina, or Ian?
I got a question. It's kind of like a two-part. Did I understand what you just say that the actual cost of childcare is about $1,300 a month per child?
That's our current cost to provide service for a child full day under COVID. It's about $1,300 a month. We are charging private pay families about $600 a month for full day services and $400 a month for hybrid. So we're trying to recover some of those expenses, but we just don't feel like it's appropriate to ask any family at this point to try and fully pay for that service. It's a significant obstacle for most.
Yeah, even $600 is a pretty stiff price. So I don't know how families do it.
Well, we do that the $600 a month at our full day programs, you know, that is more geared towards families that can afford it. We have many families that pay $0 a month. We have families that pay $200 a month, kind of what they can afford and is reasonable, because we never want to have to turn away a child for an inability to pay.
Good job.
Okay, if there are
Madam Mayor, other...
Yes, go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to say thank you to everyone here for all the hard work that they put in for all our boys and girls. So thank you very much.
Okay, well, hearing from no one else, I want to thank Ian and Ron and Christina for coming, and Rachel for doing all the technical piece of this, doing the slideshow. As Councilwoman Kesty said, we're very happy to have you here and appreciate all the work that you do within our community. So thank you again for coming. Thank you, Ian, for reaching out, and much success. We wish the Boys and Girls Club.
Thank you so much, Mayor. Thank you, council members. When we finish the survey, we'll plan to reach out in May about presenting back about total results, but really appreciate the time to present.
All right. Well, then we look forward to hearing that. Thank you, Ian. All right. Good night. Okay, moving on then, we are going to start with staff reports, and I will begin with Fire Chief Dean Klinger.
Good evening, Council Mayor. Still good news. The numbers continue to drop for COVID, and vaccines continue to go up. They're getting another large shipment into the county this week. And there are actually several sites now that are starting to offer that. This Friday will be the last county test date for COVID at the fairgrounds. If people want to get tested after that, they'll either, they're private physicians, or go to the website and they can find where that's going to be offered. Starting on Tuesday, it'll be vaccine only there. So Tuesday through Saturday, they'll be able to get their vaccines at the fairgrounds. So those are all good news. The It's very promising. Still no update, unfortunately, for phase three. I searched as much as I could today and couldn't find anything. So I guess we'll just wait till they tell us what their plan is.
All right. Thank you, Chief. Just an FYI, I did ask that question today when we had the elected officials meeting. And the answer was, we do have Director Jennifer Johnson and Commissioner Lisa Janicki on the governor's board to decide when would be a good time to push forward with phase three and what that would look like. So I have a lot of faith in those two women. So I'm believing that we're going to be moving forward into phase three soon. I want to acknowledge real quick, like, that Councilman Glenn Allen has joined us, and I saw where you did come in not too long after we had started. Good evening, Glenn. Okay, we'll move on to Police Chief Lynn Tucker.
All right, thank you, Madam Mayor. Just a couple things here. We've got officially three of our trainees turned loose on the public, and they are out on their own now, or one of them may be getting turned loose here in the next day or so. But we also just got one more back from the academy today. Brady Moore just graduated from the academy. So we're going to plug him into the schedule on Saturday. And so that gives us that extra bodies on the street that we're desperately looking for. On another front, some of you may have seen a Facebook post and Instagram post that we did on the Blake decision. The Washington State Supreme Court has decided that the law making controlled substances such as heroin, cocaine, meth, that such hard drugs like that makes them legal to possess in small amounts for possession. We've been working with the prosecutor's office, the other chiefs and the sheriffs, and pretty much across the state with how this major change in the direction that we've taken over the years, how we're gonna deal with that. So more to come on that as soon as we get some guidance on that. Ultimately, our legislature could make a fix on this, and we're just remaining to see if they can jump on that and work out the details. It's a simple fix on wording in the statute, making it a knowing violation instead of just being in possession. If you're interested in more information, if you look up Washington State Supreme Court versus Blake, it's actually got a pretty good read, and there's some good reasons for that to have been done, but there's probably some really good and better reasons to get that law fixed and get us back to where we can deal with some of these controlled substance problems. And on the last note, I know we keep getting hit with requests for traffic control. I think Carl caught me out to doing a little traffic control on Saturday. I found somebody doing 70 miles an hour in a 25 mile an hour zone. That was quite a record for me. I don't think I've ever got anybody quite that fast, but it got me to thinking more and more about the list of areas that are problems. And I got to looking at that list of 50 traffic location problems that we've got problems with, and only about 15 or 20 are actually ones that we can devote somebody to on a given time. The other ones are hit and miss. So I'm going to try to put together something a little bit and maybe get it sent out to all of you just to pass on to any of your constituents, just to say, hey, this is what we're doing. This is how we're doing it. And we're hopefully making a dent in some of the speeders. But yeah, in the last week, I got one at 61 and one at 70 in 25 mile an hour zones. So they're out there. They're apparently not paying attention to the signs. And we're hopefully generating just a little bit of income for the city and changing people's ways they're driving. But it's funny, as soon as we put out something that is, be careful, drive the speed limit, there's usually two or three comments is, can you do something about people driving too slow? Honestly, can't win this fight whichever way we go, but we're going to keep on fighting it and trying until the Supreme Court makes it unconstitutional to stop speeders. I don't know what we'll keep doing, but that's all I got, Mayor.
All right, thank you. Moving on to Director of Building and Permits, John Coleman.
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, Council. Good evening. So some of you have probably heard that our building inspector and plans examiner, Tony Niskanen, is retiring after being with the city for about 5.5 years. So we're working on, or we have a job announcement out for a replacement building inspector, plans examiner, that closes on the 17th of this month, and hopefully we'll get some really good applicants. It'll be tough to fill Tony's shoes. He's been doing not just building inspections and plans examination. He's been helping the fire department out with fire permit review, which historically we've always had a third party do for us. So it's been a really smooth go. So some big shoes to fill, and it's been great working with Tony for 5.5 years. Very disappointed that he's gonna retire, but you know, he's earned it. So it's time for him to move on to do more of his personal pursuits. And then the Planning Commission is working on the Shoreline Master Program update. They'll be having a public hearing on that next Tuesday, 6 days from now. And they're also still doing work on the electronic reader boards, not just for the CBD, but for everywhere in the city. We're taking that task on. So they'll be working on that on Tuesday as well. And then I've sent an email out to the planning committee of the council to see if everybody's available for a meeting at 5 o'clock on the March 24th, which is just ahead of the next regular city council meeting. I've heard from a couple council members, but check your email, your council email, and let me know if you can make it. That's all I have to talk about this evening.
All right. Thank you, John. Director of Public Works, Mark Freiberger. Mark, I think you're still muted. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Sorry about that.
No worries.
Council and guests. A few things to report tonight. We have received our final draft American Disabilities Act transition plan. That is posted on our website if you're interested in taking a look at it. We will have it on the council agenda for a first read on the 24th, the council meeting on the 24th, and hopefully for adoption on the 14th of April. We need to have that in place, if at all possible, by the 21st. That's the date that it is due, according to Federal Highways rules. We have a SEPA in progress, and John's department is handling that. And also, our wastewater treatment plant electrical improvements project, contractor Dalton Electric, started work on Monday this week. That's about a two-month project. That's going to perform some needed upgrades to our electrical system at the wastewater plant, and we're looking forward to getting that done. In addition to that, a couple of reports for you. I've been telling you about our design for the SR20, SR9 township intersection improvements. We found out in the last couple of weeks that the lead time on the signal equipment and controllers is 4 to 6 months. And so we've revised our plan for bidding that. We were originally going to obligate funds here in the next few weeks and go out to bid early this year. That would have resulted in construction starting no earlier than October or so, which wouldn't have been enough time to complete that project before the weather turns unsuitable for paving operations. So we're going to plan to bid it a little later in the year, probably in the September range. That will then get us with the acquisition to having the equipment in place or available for summer construction in 2022. So a little bit of a change. That'll also give us some time and the economy time to get over the COVID-19 supply train issues that have caused that long lead time on the poles and the controllers. We've also taken somewhat of a similar approach with the wastewater treatment plant lab ops building and the public works building work. The design is still on track to have a permit ready set of the public works plans by the end of March. Cranking that in with the funding that we're planning to use for that, which is a loan through the Treasury local program. The dates line up to where we couldn't meet an early date for the loan. Their requirements actually are that we have bid and awarded the project before they finalize and sell bonds. So working through all those numbers with Doug, it looks like it's better for us to look at an application date in August for that program and putting the funds available in September-ish range. A late bid is not really a problem on that. And again, it may give the economy time to recover from COVID, and perhaps we can get the Canadian border ordered, opened, and get some lumber in here to reduce those prices in the meantime. So I'm not sure that's too bad of an outcome on that. It does delay the project just a little bit. Also want to report that we have received the final drawings from BNSF for the undercrossing project. And they're on track to start that work on May the 1st. You should see a contract for agreement to do that work. It's a little behind the curve on BNSF's part, but they've had our part for about 4 or 5 months now. But I understand we should be seeing that in the next 2 weeks now. And you should see that then either on March 24th, more likely on April 14th for your approval. So that's a good outcome on that. And that's pretty much the highlights of what we got going on here in Public Works right now. Thank you, Mayor.
All right, thank you, Mark. Director of IT, Bill Chambers.
Can you hear me now?
You certainly can.
All right. Just the cemetery management software RFP has been forwarded to Doug and Nikki for final review. Glenn and Julie have done a lot of hard work on that. The Avidex was selected for phase 2.1 of the Council Chambers AV upgrade, and we've included that in the packet tonight. Working with Sergeant Blunt on finalizing the criminal justice information system security audit. Should be finished with that soon. Skagitnet fiber meeting on Monday with the mayor and Mark. Could be some possibilities for application for technology grant funds to help get connected on some of those. And working on formation of an internal staff technology advisory group to help review upcoming technology as it is proposed and make more educated decisions on how that's going to help the entire staff and the citizens. And that's about it.
All right, thank you, Bill. Financial Manager Jill Scott.
Thank you, Mayor, and good evening, Council. We're continuing to work on the preparation of our 2020 annual report, and we look forward to presenting those numbers to Council, hopefully very soon. One of the reasons it takes so long to wrap up a prior fiscal year is there are always changes coming out of the State Auditor's Office, and this year is no exception. We follow the cash basis budgeting and reporting standards, and one of the significant new requirements for 2020 reporting is that we are going to be classifying our beginning and ending cash balances according to some five new classifications or five different classifications as opposed to the two that we currently use. Needless to say, this will require some extra work on our part. So we'll be reviewing each fund and the limitation placed on those funds. But I think that the goal of this new classification system is to provide just an additional level of information to management and financial statement users regarding how much of our resources are reserved for specific purposes and how much is more available for unrestricted use. Once we're finished with this step, we're going to be rolling the balances forward into the new year, and we'll have information not only for 2020, but also for 2021. So thank you to Council and Mayor for the patience. I know it's been a while since there's been update on the financial reporting. So hopefully we'll have that soon. We're also working with the police department to facilitate their plan to open up in a limited manner for fingerprinting. And as always, we're continuing to support the various city departments with their operations and special projects. And that's all I have for tonight.
Thank you, Jill.
Thank you.
City Attorney, Nikki Thompson.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. I don't have anything to add. I'm just hoping my connection holds on this device.
Okay. Thank you, Nikki. City Supervisor, Doug Merriman.
Thank you, Mayor, and good evening, Council. A couple different things for you tonight. One, if you've been following the news, the House approved the American Rescue Plan Act today. So now we have both the House and Senate signing off on the new $1.9 trillion COVID relief package. And so I've been doing some sleuthing to see what I can find as far as what that means for us. In the initial list for cities, Cedar Woolley has been allocated $2.6 million. And this isn't money they're just going to send to us. This will be reimbursement. But that was really encouraging. That's a good lot of money for us to use to mitigate our COVID effects and things that we've had. There's no specific guidelines yet. The one thing I have seen is that they're going to split the money up. So instead of phases, they call them tranches. And tranche number one, they'll send some money out to be available 30 to 60 days after the president signs, which he's expected to do on Friday. And the rest of it will be a year from now. Mm-hmm. So it's a little unusual that way. So we'll have to take a look at it and see what that means. Because of the size of our city, we're not one of the big Seattles or Tacomas. The state of Washington will be handling our distribution instead of going directly to the federal government. So we'll have some hoops to find out what lucky agency gets to handle all of that and what that relationship's going to look like and how we go ahead and approve. So that was encouraging news, and hopefully there'll be something there that'll be really useful for us. From a staffing side, we're doing some public records training. In the past, council and mayor and myself and others, we've all enjoyed the enlightening public records training we go through. And this class gets even better. So we have 12 of us signed up that'll be going into the details. This is for the people who actually put together a response to a public records request. And it's even more detailed than one that we've all been through. It'll talk about how you do things, the timelines, what information you redact or take out because it's confidential. So it's a good process for us because we're paying more and more attention to risk mitigation. There's different things we do that always carry inherent risks. And so we're starting to emphasize a lot of our training and our focuses on making sure those risk factors are as small as possible. And so this will be a good class. We have kind of a smorgasbord of everybody across the city signing up. So that'll be good for us. And the last item I have, we're gonna be finalizing the library project here. We're finishing up the punch list. The library staff is actually going through training on how to use the thermostat and the lights and all the other good stuff that are built into that building. We'll be wrapping those up here, I think by the 25th of this month. And we're already starting now on moving some of the items in and getting that thing ready to turn into an actual library. So we're moving along there. I think when we finish these punch lists and these different items, I've already started putting together a financial report for City Council, and it'll be a summary of the construction project and where we stand budget-wise and how that's all turned out. So right now we're under budget. Time-wise, COVID threw wrenches at us, as did a few snow days last year. But even with that, we're still looking pretty good. So I look forward to presenting that to council and giving you an update on that. And that's all I have for this evening.
All right. Thank you, Doug. And we'll move into council reports. And I'm going to begin with Councilwoman Joellen Kesty. She actually came to the city. She brought before us something that we've done in the past, but she's got a new twist to it. And so, Joellen, I'm going to turn that over to you.
Thank you, Mayor. I am happy to announce Cleanup Day 2021 in honor of our former mayor, Paul Rhodius, who proclaimed April 5th, 1919 Cleanup Day, asking city residents to clean up their land and offering free yard waste drop-off. Thanks to the collaboration of Mayor Johnson and Leo Jacobs, who've made it possible to reenact Mayor Paul Rhodius's April 5th proclamation, Free Yard Waste Day drop-off will be accepted at the City of every Monday and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., starting Monday, April 5th until Monday, April 26th. This will be available to all residents who live within the City of Cedar Woolley limits. That's all I have today.
Okay. Thank you, Joellen. And that is kind of cool. What is that, 102 years ago that declaration was made on April 5th? And you're starting this program on April 5th, you and Leo are. So something that probably just want to clarify is that with this program, of course, it's only for the citizens of Cedar Woolley. So those coming will have to show their driver's license or some proof that they do live within the city limits. So just kind of an FYI there. So it's not open to Burlington or Mount Vernon or any of those other cities, just those who live within the city limits.
Correct. Yep.
We will move to Councilwoman Brenda Kinzer.
Hi, good evening. Since I'm coming kind of to the close of my time here, I'd like to bring forward a proposal about one of my passions about Northern State Hospital. As we all know, the hospital, the farm, and the cemetery, all three have, in the very recent past, been victim to a great deal of vandalism, broken windows, broken walls, graffiti, anything you can imagine that can be done as vandalism to those sites has been done. So I would like to bring to the council, bring to the city as a proposal for them to look into the possibility of a joint task force between the port, the county, and the city to see, to form a task force and see if there are grants available for security. Alleviate a lot of that vandalism, because this site as a whole is on the National Historic Registry. And I really feel like we should be doing everything in our power to protect those spaces, to keep this vandalism from happening. And so I would just like to see if we can look into forming a task force and see if there are grants available to provide some kind of security to help prevent the vandalism and degradation of this most beautiful site in our state.
So Brenda, I can probably share with you that we do have an interlocal agreement, the port, the city, and the county. And there is on site, as you probably are aware, at Swift Center, Northern State Security Force Task already in place, or people who are part of security. So I meet with, I can't think of her name. Talk about going brain dead. But I meet with Patsy Martin. There we are, Patsy Martin. Once a month, and I'm going to be meeting with her next week, and I can actually bring this before her and see what she has to say and see if we can't do something about that. Are you thinking in particular, just so I have some clarification, are you thinking in particular of the buildings that are offsite? They're not on the grounds proper, and by that I mean where the port is putting in the industrial park? Or or just the cemetery, or a combination of both? What do you, what is it you're thinking?
With my experience working on site at the Northern State Hospital grounds, the security that the port has in place really focuses on the Job Corps site primarily. They do drive through the Pioneer Center North and Telecare sites occasionally also, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of full-time patrolling of the area, neither at night. Having worked night shift there, there is not a great deal of night patrolling. So I would like to see security on the Northern State Hospital grounds, on the Northern State Farm grounds, and the Northern State Cemetery, all three of them combined. See if there is some way to apply for grants, because it's on the National Historic Registry. Mm-hmm. Is it some kind of task force that we can put in place to start doing some kind of research on this to see if there are any types of grants we can apply for, especially at night, because most likely the majority of that damage is happening at night, because there's a great population of the public up there during the day. I don't think people really do a lot of damage up there during the day. I think it's people going up at night.
Oh, no, I think we lost her. But, you know, Chief Tucker, I know that you actually met with the port up there. You met with Patsy and some of the others. Do you want to make comment regarding that, just in case Brenda can hear what's being said?
Yeah, we're working on some of that with Patsy and with, it's a group effort. Met with Ryan Walker, the head of security up there, and all the staff at Job Corps. And we've been working trying to come up with a mini test. We're trying to come up with ideas on how to improve security up there. And one of the things that they have done is they've opened up a guard shack that's a little bit further out that's manned part-time by security staff. And Councilman Kinzer's right, that primarily is a Job Corps thing. But they also, you got maintenance guys that are watching the Northern State grounds. You've got the security people that are up there. We're looking at closing the gate to keep people out at night. It still doesn't stop the foot traffic. One of the things that's very difficult, it's kind of like what I was saying earlier about some traffic control. You can devote some resources sometimes, but nobody has the resources to devote all the time. Having a full-time security is going to be a problem, I think, to find, or just a problem to figure out how to pay for it. It's doable, but it's going to be tough, especially if you only got one person. You have to decide if they're going to be stationary, they're going to be manned at a post. Do you want to double your efforts with technology? Like Nathan's worked on some ideas for maybe a pole camera of some sort up at the cemetery to dissuade some of the graffiti, that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of things to be talked about, and some sort of task force might be the answer. I don't know. I don't know who's going to be able to manage. You can't just have a security guard that's not being managed either. So, you've got some levels of concern no matter what you end up doing. But Councilman Kinzer's right. The damage is getting done, and some of it's never going to be fixed. A guy didn't broke the windows out of one of the places the other day right before we came in for a meeting. And, it's just kids breaking in and doing vandalism that just won't ever get fixed.
Right. So the idea of a grant is a possibility. I'll take that to the director of the port, Patsy Martin, and probably you can do the same. I know that you do meet with them. So Brenda, if you're listening, we are going to take this serious, and we'll see what we can do and what will come of it. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve.
I'm just very concerned that the damage is happening very rapid pace at this point. And Chief Tucker said, some of it will never be fixed. And that is, that's pretty heartbreaking. And the play that we don't lose due to the best.
Oh, I think we've lost you, Brenda. Okay, well, if she comes back, we'll bring her on, but I'll move on then to Councilor Chuck Owen. Brenda?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, there we are.
Oh, sorry. My connection's messed up tonight. I'm sorry. I apologize about that. My biggest concern now is that the vandalism is happening at a much more rapid pace, and maybe, you know, it's due to COVID and people, I don't know. But like she said, if we don't get a grip, some things will never be fixed.
That's very true. All right, thank you, Brenda. Moving on to Councilman Chuck Owen. Chuck, are you unmuted?
Well, I was muted, but thank you anyway. I have nothing tonight, Mayor. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Chuck. Councilman Kevin Loy.
As much as I'd love to say something, I have nothing to say at this moment.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Councilman Brendan McGoffin.
Hi. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I've been receiving quite a few phone calls about the new Bucco development that's been going in. And I just want to say Mark and John have done a really fantastic job responding to questions and helping me field, you know, the concerns that residents bring forward. And so I just want to give those two guys a shout out. You're doing a great job and thank you for all the help.
Thank you, Brendan. That's always appreciated. Councilman Carl DeYoung. Carl, we can't hear you. Carl, we can't hear you. Are you gonna call in? Okay. Well, I'll go to Councilman Glenn Allen. We'll come back to you, Carl. Councilman Glenn Allen.
Thank you, Mayor Julia. I want to blame Bill and Glenn for me. Now, I was trying to get on at 6:10, and it wouldn't let me join the meeting. So anyway, getting back to Brenda's concerns, I take my dog up to Helmick Road about 30 days a month to take her for a walk, and I see the county employees. If you know Brian Adams, not the Canadian rocker, but over at the parks, you know, I've suggested that several of those people do what Cedar Woolley does, put in a trailer, have somebody live there, give them a small amount of money. They lock the gates every night, and that would, I see the vandalism. I mean, I'm up there 30 days a month. I see the vandalism and hooliganism and graffiti. So anyway, if you know Brian, you know, if you and Brian and Patsy could get together, that might be a super idea, you know, or it may not be. I don't know. Thank you, Mayor. And I'm blaming Bill and Glenn for not getting on in time.
Well, we have a good IT team. I have to say, I think they do a pretty good job. And there's a lot of us that they have to keep up and running. So, but great suggestion. I do know Brian. Thank you. Okay, Councilman DeYoung.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, there we are. Hello.
Hello. Thank you. I just had to reset my headset. So technology, it's a miracle of technology. It's a miracle when it works. So wanted to recognize the leadership of Chief Tucker for being out and about in the community and doing community engagement. And it is true, Saturday I did observe an interaction with a speeder there on Jameson. And thank you, Chief, for handling that with the aplomb and professionalism that you lead the force with. And I think, as I've stated to you before, because of your leadership, we have such a fine department that everyone on that department rises to. So thank you for that. And I know it's a team effort, you'll say, but I'm so happy that you're out in the community on a Saturday, taking the lead with community engagement. And I'm glad that situation rectified itself safely, because hitting 70 miles an hour between Township and 11th, it was about two blocks, and that's quite a lot of a velocity there. And there are children in that neighborhood and other vulnerable folks. So thank you very, very much again. And Madam Mayor, that are my comments. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And I really only have a couple things. As far as Ward 3, there has been a lot of interest generated, but so far nobody has turned in an application. So we're still waiting and hoping for that. I think the good news is that we have, I think it's 90 days after someone leaves their post. So we have probably from the end of March until the end of, what would that be, July? March, April, May, June, till the end of June, until we would need to fill that position. So. But I'm feeling hopeful that we'll have somebody who will apply, or a couple of people who will apply. Going to the council work retreat, I wanted to bring that up in case you have not seen it in your email. I did send out an email talking about the date has been set. It is Friday, March 7th, and it is from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. We will serve dinner. Please put it on your calendar. We're going to talk through different kinds of plans and visions and budgets and policies and some
Madam
of the
Mayor,
topics.
I'm not trying to be rude, but March 7th was 3 days ago.
I'm sorry, May 7th. May 7th.
Oh, I'm going to be out of
town. It's a Friday, okay. May 7th. Thank you. Some of the items that we'll be discussing, just a few, there's more than this, but we'll talk about the Cedar Woolley Downtown Association. We'll talk park strategies. We'll talk sidewalks and the policy for an LID, which is a local improvement district, housing in Cedar Woolley, in particular, transitional housing in Cedar Woolley. I've encouraged you to bring forth ideas. If you have any ideas, I wanna thank Councilman Brendan McGoffin. He's got a couple of ideas that he wants to bring before the council. He'll talk about that and how that will, new technology actually that he's bringing forward and how that will impact the city if we were to implement it. So if there are ideas and topics that you would like to see brought forward, please email me and we'll get that on the agenda. So that is Friday, May 7th, 3 to 7 p.m. For those of you who are wondering, I have asked the managers and to actually present on May 5th. It's our council work session. And they'll each have 10 minutes to talk about their projects and the budget for 2022 with a couple minutes for Q&A. So, and that will be about a 2-hour process. So we'll actually divide up our council work session, or I should say our council retreat session, the first one at the council work session, and then the next one 2 days later in the afternoon into the early evening. So again, that's in your email. And please feel free to call me if you have any questions or email me. And that is all I have for right now. So we will move on to public comment. I have, yes, Councilman DeYoung.
Hi, Madam Mayor. May 7th, I have a longstanding personal engagement on May 7th, and I'm currently out of town. So for your information.
All right, thank you. So let's move on then to public comment. It is 6:59. If there's anybody on the line who has public comment, if you would please give your name and your address and keep it to 3 minutes, that would be appreciated. And public comment is now open. Okay, hearing no comment, it is 6:59, and I will close public comment and we will move on to unfinished business. First item on the list, and the only item on the list for unfinished business, is the proposed comprehensive plan amendment, 2021 docket. This is the second reading. And Director Coleman, I will turn this over to you.
Thank you, Mayor. Hello again to the council. So as you probably all recall, we talked about the proposed 2021 docket items at the work session last Wednesday. So I haven't come up with any other comprehensive plan amendments that we're proposing. So as we discussed at the last meeting, the only two items that are recommended to be on the 2021 docket are rezone requests, one from the Bucko family and one request from Bob Ruby at the to change 3 acres at the golf course. That one in particular was a holdover from last year's docket that the council wanted to review more. So really just two items. I'm happy to answer any further questions that you have, but I think we covered it pretty well a week ago from tonight. So we're just looking for a motion to adopt the 2021 comprehensive plan docket, and then we'll get the Planning Commission working on it next month.
All right, thank you, John. Are there any questions for John? Okay, hearing none. Is there anybody who, this is a second read, is there anybody who would like to make a motion to adopt the 2021 comprehensive plan docket, which includes two rezone requests identified as the Buckle family and Ruby Golf Course?
Madam Mayor, I make a motion to adopt the 2021 comprehensive plan docket with request for the Buckle family and Golf Course.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
A second.
Thank you. So I have a motion by Councilwoman Kinzer, seconded by Councilman McGoffin. Any more discussion or any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay, motion carries.
Thank you, everybody.
All right, moving on to new business, we have ordinance number 198021, the animal code update. And Officer Laura Carr, will you be presenting this tonight?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Please let me know if my volume is okay. I'm not a frequent Zoomer, so this is a little new for me. Good evening. Thank you, Madam Mayor and members of council. Thanks for having me this evening. Animal ordinance, Title 6 of our municipal code, we haven't had a major update since 2015. We've had a few housekeeping amendments between now and 2015. So we're really due for some housekeeping as far as language, and we've had some legislative changes in RCW that we needed to be aligned with. A couple of new ordinances that I'm proposing. This is a first read tonight, so it looks like a large amount of material because it is the entire animal code. I have a few items that I'm happy to introduce as far as the two new ordinances. The majority of the red marks on your pages are cleaning up the language, improving the definitions, clarifying, removing ambiguities, and my goal has always been to make sure that in whatever jurisdiction I'm in, that we are consistent with our neighbor jurisdictions for the most part, so that there aren't extreme differences from, say, Mount Vernon to Burlington or Cedro Woolley. So there's nothing in our code that is, radical or earth-shattering. It's all pretty standard, and we all work together within Skagit County all the time we talk and make sure our codes are up to date and current. I'm not sure how you want me to proceed. I can go quickly through the first few pages, which are primarily, as I said, housekeeping. And then if you like, I can introduce on which would be page 87 of the packet or page 8 of the code, I can introduce the two new ordinances which I'm proposing to add. However you wish to proceed, Madam Mayor.
Well, why don't you share what you think is pertinent, what you would like the council to hear, and then we can open it up for questions. I'm sure that they've had a chance to peruse the docket and so the ordinance, so they may have questions or comments of their own.
Okay. So. I think we can skip ahead to page 87 of the packet or page 8 of the proposed ordinance, and I can talk about in chapter 6.08, the guard dog, introduction of a guard dog ordinance. A little history as to why this is really good news and very important for public safety. We have had instances, one in particular, where we had a trained to attack, take down to the ground and bite on command, a dog that was not being managed well. And we really had no ordinance to address specific dogs who are, and there is a definition for guard dog that I'm introducing to the code as well. A guard dog means any type of dog specifically trained and used for the purpose of defending, patrolling, or protecting property or life. The term guard dog shall exclude, of course, police dogs and dogs used primarily for handling and controlling livestock or farm animals. We have ordinances and state law to take enforcement action, regulate and manage dogs who have attacked or who have bitten or who have harmed people. But when we have an animal in the community that is specifically trained to do so on command and is not being properly managed, if that dog gets loose, if there's no requirement for the dog owner to notify the police. So we had a case where we had a dog like that, and it wasn't until that dog actually bit somebody that I could declare the dog to be potentially dangerous and just hope that the owner, if the dog got loose, would report to the police. Yes, I see a hand up.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to ask a code enforcement car question.
Thank you. Go ahead, Councilman DeYoung.
Thanks. So when you say properly managed, could you do some broad strokes of what properly managed is defined?
Well, if you want to look at the specific special requirements.
I guess I'm interested in your interpretation of it. Just the broad strokes.
Proper restraint.
Or properly managing a guard dog, yeah.
Well, there where I'm introducing special restraint requirements similar to what we have for a potentially dangerous or a dangerous dog. They have to have a secure a facility or secure fencing. They have to have their property posted. In the case of a guard dog or protection dog on the grounds or in a vehicle, that vehicle has to be secure and posted. The property needs to be posted with a warning sign, the phone number, not only for who to call if the dog gets loose and the neighbor sees the dog running around, but if, say, fire or aid or police need to render aid and go to the property, they can't get in if someone's down on the property and they don't have a phone number to call or know who's there. But those
That sounds absolutely reasonable. Thank you so much for that.
Sure. Yeah. The special requirements are detailed on page 9, and these are very similar to our potentially dangerous and dangerous dog requirements. The only difference would be if a dog is declared to be potentially dangerous or dangerous, there is a registration fee. There are different levels of registration with regard to liability insurance, depending on the classification of that declaration. But with a guard dog, I'm not asking that they pay an annual registration fee. They just need to update the registration so that that gives animal control an opportunity to do an inspection and make sure that their property is secure and properly posted and they're following all the rules. So those details are outlined within the proposed code. The next ordinance, which I'm proposing that we add, and again, these are both of these proposed ordinance additions are already codified in our neighboring jurisdictions. Not all of them, but for the most part, they have either a similar code or identical code. I believe in not reinventing the wheel whenever possible. Use what's been proven, use what's been tested. So the other addition which I'm proposing is the found stray animal. Without a code specifying the proper action for a person who finds a dog, some people will do the responsible thing and notify the police or notify the Humane Society, but we have cases quite often where someone's beloved pet will go missing, or people believe it's finders keepers, and if and when we track down their lost pet, there really is no penalty for someone finding a pet, not turning it in. So the actual code would read, pardon me. It is the duty of any person who takes a stray animal as defined in this chapter into his or her possession to notify the city animal control authority at once and to release such animal to said authority upon demand and without charge. I had a case not too long ago where the owner of a pet actually found their dog a week later with someone else at our dog park. That person refused to return the dog, took off, and after a week of investigation, I located the dog and reunited it with the family. But there was nothing really, no recourse for that action. So the last actual change in the keeping of animals would be on page 98 of your packet, page 19 of the ordinance, and that's the topic of chickens, hens, ducks. I know there has been discussion about that, and actually Nikki and I were a bit ahead of the ball there. I had already received an email from the citizen who was wishing to keep a different type of bird than a chicken or a duck, and we were addressing that when it came before council. So I am proposing, like some of our neighboring jurisdictions, that we change the word chicken to hens. And I know there will be folks who will say, well, what about the loud birds? We have codified already the enforcement of any animal that makes disturbing noise. And we want a community where we can be open to people who want backyard egg producers. Birds can be a lot of fun. And a great thing for families. If we get a loud one, I'm sure the neighbors will let us know, and then we can address it that way. But rather than start specifying a list of what particular species of bird we are going to permit, or animal, or it will get very cumbersome and we'll be splitting a lot of hairs. So, so I'm hoping that this will help with the keeping of quail. And that's really the majority of, other than, as I say, just the cleanup of the language. One really important change in our legislature, in our RCW, that has been a real hindrance to any animal control authority to pursue and file charges in cases of severe animal neglect. The state legislature repealed the financial hardship as an affirmative defense in animal neglect. This has been a problem since I've been doing this, which is decades, and simply not being able to purchase food or take your pet to the vet is no longer a defense for neglect. We have an open door policy here at Cedro Woolley Police Department that anyone that needs to, within reason, surrender their pet, we will take it if they can't care for it. And we work very hard to give people the resources that they need to care for their pets. So I am happy to answer any questions you have. And I believe this is a first read, so I'm sure I will be back.
So are there any questions for Officer Carr?
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cassidy?
Yes.
First, I'd like to thank Officer Carr for putting the time to revise the animal codes, and she always goes above and beyond, and I'm so thankful to have her. And second, because she did such an excellent job with this, is it okay to make a motion to make this pass through instead of having to do a second read because she did so amazing?
You're welcome to do that if you like. Just depends on if the council wants to follow suit, but absolutely you can make a motion.
Okay, so I'd like to make a motion. I don't have the reading in front of me.
It's ordinance 1980-21.
1980-21. I'd like to make a motion to pass that.
Okay. So we have a motion to approve ordinance 1980-21 by Councilwoman Kesty, seconded by Councilman DeYoung. It's an ordinance of the City of Cedro Woolley amending Title VI of the Cedro Woolley Municipal Code to provide necessary updates to the Animal Code, providing for severability and establishing an effective date. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, same sign. Okay, hearing none, it looks like it does pass. So Officer Carr, thank you very, very much for the work that you have done here. And
Madam Mayor.
You're still welcome to join us though next on the 24th, if you like. Yes,
Councilman. Thank you very much.
Yeah, while we have Officer Carr here in her chain of command, I'd like to make a point of personal privilege that I have done a ride-along with Officer Carr and have found her to be compassionate and patient with not only the owners and the humans involved, but also the animals. And I would strongly recommend if you have an opportunity to do a ride-along, probably after COVID passes, to do so. It is a great experience. And I'm very glad we have Officer Carr out there. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you, Laura. All right. So one last thing. I have something for the good of the order. And that's something that I brought up at the last meeting. And that has to do with the Pease Road Shelter Project that the Burlington Council and Mayor have put into place. They have approached us as a community, as a council, as a mayor, and asked if we would be willing to provide any kind of a contribution as part of their startup. It'd be a startup contribution. And I want to make it clear this would be a one-time contribution to the Pease Road project. I did send out the information as promised at the last meeting. I hope you had a chance to read through it. I guess my question to you is, now that you've had a chance to read the information that I've sent, plus the articles, and had a chance to look at the pictures of the shelters, is the council interested in possibly doing a one-time contribution to this project?
I would support that.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilman Loy.
Madam Mayor.
Yes, Councilwoman Kinzer, I think it was.
Again, do we have a dollar amount?
When he approached, he wanted to know if we would use the funding that we had received from House Bill 1406, which is about, we receive it slowly over the year, and we have about 5,000 in there now. I did run this past our attorney, and Ms. Thompson did specify that she believes that funding, the way that the language and the wording is in that bill, that it's actually for housing and not for shelter. So just in all transparency, I was hoping that maybe the council would be open to the suggestion and the possibility of using then 5,000 out of their discretionary funds. So that's what I was going to be looking at. But I'm open to other options if the council so desires.
Madam Mayor, through my employment, I'm very aware of the housing shortage in the area. And I believe this project is very, very, very needed. And I am supportive of the city contribution to this project. And I'd be happy to give 10,000 to the project if the rest of the council was willing.
So just so I heard you correctly, Councilwoman Kinzer, so you would be, are you suggesting that the council provide 10,000 as a one-time contribution?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Are there other comments or questions?
Madam Mayor, Councilman Allen, is Mr. Merriman still, do we have $10,000 to give?
You do, actually. I knew that question was coming. So looking at the end of 2020, we had about $490,000 in the discretionary reserve. There are some commitments and some payments, and the Reed Street property is probably going to come from there. So that would leave you probably around $400,000 total.
Okay. Are there any other comments or questions? And Councilwoman Kinzer, was that a motion on your part, or were you just making a statement? Okay, hearing nothing. I guess what I'm looking for is some direction from the council. It looks like Councilman Loy and Councilwoman Kinzer are interested in moving forward with this. Is there other council members who are interested in doing this?
Madam Mayor, Councilman Allen, I would make a motion that we designate $10,000 to the Pease Street project with the city of Cedar Willy.
All right, thank you.
City of Burlington, sorry.
Madam Mayor?
Yes, Councilman Owen.
Yeah, I would support this in the condition that there'd be no strings attached. I mean, we would have nothing to do with it.
Yeah, this is just a contribution. It's going to be ran by them. They have their own policy in place as to how they're going to do that. So, yeah.
Okay, I would support it.
Is that a second, Councilman Owen?
Yeah, I'll second it.
Okay. So I have Councilman Loy, Councilwoman Kinzer, Councilman Allen, and Owen, that is four, who are in support of this. I'm looking to see if there's anyone else. Otherwise, I will just take a quick vote. All those in favor?
Oh, I'm also in support of this. Councilman McGoffin.
Okay, thank you, Councilman McGoffin. All right. Okay. We do have a majority there. I just want to get some clarification here. Either Mr. Merriman. Yes?
Please educate me. This just seems just kind of an odd way of process. I was looking for an ordinance that would be in the packet that we could look at and review. My thought is, Madam Mayor, is that $10,000 is new, and also what are those possible strings that are attached? And I'm just looking for the normal order of business for an ordinance in the packet. An urgency? Is there an emergency?
Okay, Councilman DeYoung, so let me finish. We are going to. Looking for people who are interested. I needed to know if people want to move forward with this, and then we will bring back an interlocal that we will do, and that will come before you on the 24th. And then we can vote on it then. I just want to make sure that we're moving forward as a team on this, as a group. So, and if there's any questions or concerns, I wanted to make sure that those were addressed and answered. And we will come back on the 24th with an ordinance. Okay, well, that is what we will do then. I want to thank everybody for your support and your generosity, and I agree wholeheartedly with what all of you are saying, is that we are in a situation where there's a lot of people who do not have any kind of a home, and safety is important, and you can get that if you have a shelter that you can go to. So, Councilwoman Kinzer?
I'm sorry. It seems like we had majority agreement on $10,000. To go towards this fund, and this is going to be a project that is in the millions of dollars to complete. Are we willing to go above 10,000? Can we put that in front of the council?
I wouldn't be going for that myself personally.
Okay. Anybody else have comment?
I'm trying. This is Councilwoman Kesty, but my internet is very, very bad right now. So I apologize. Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah. We can.
Okay. I'm up for, helping and all of that. I just have to, as long as we can iron some things out prior, I'll feel better about it. I just want to make sure all the money is being allocated properly to that. So once we get a look at that, I think I'll be okay with it.
Right. Okay, very good. Yeah, so that'll be the interlocal that we'll bring to you on the 24th. So you'll have a chance to review that and whatnot before we come to in session on that council session on the 24th.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for your generosity and your kind hearts. And we will bring that before you, and it will be an interlocal between us and the city of Mount Vernon for this Pease Road Shelter project. Is there anything else for the good of the order? Okay, hearing none, our next meeting is, as I said, on the 24th. It'll be at 6 p.m. via Zoom. Everybody have a great night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye. Night, guys.
Bye. Good night.